tonight, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. But before we do that, I have to make a grammatical correction from Sunday night's message. It's not it. I was using the apostrophe, which is it is, instead of possessive. I was making that grammatical error all night long. So just erase the apostrophe and everything will be just fine. You know, something sounds the same. So there you go. So in transparency, there you go. Okay? So yeah, I know it's caused you all dissonance and everything else. And he doesn't know grammar. Well, that's true. We all make mistakes, amen? I'm glad God saved me, in spite of myself. Now, last week we went through the blind man series. We went through the first 13 verses of John chapter 9. Tonight we're going to close this chapter out because it all has a central theme to it. And what we need to understand is that Christ can fill what is missing in your life. And this man's life was blind from birth. Christ gave him new eyes. Because he was missing eyes. And so what we see here is in verse 1, we see the problem that led to his hearing. We see Christ's presence. He says, and why he passed by. And then he saw his perception. And then his prospect was the blind man, one who was blind from birth. In verses 2 through 5, we see the purpose and way of review. We see the purpose of the man being born blind. There was a mistaken judgment made by the disciples. They thought that anything that comes to someone that's bad must be from sin. And so that's the way we think. We think in a judgmental mindset at times. You had to do something wrong. And Christ corrects them. He says, this is for the glory of God. And Christ is going to do something that no one else has ever done. He's going to create eyes. He's going to recreate his eyes. The mission of Christ is fulfilled. He's going to fulfill Scripture literally by giving the blind sight. And then the last thing is that the message of Christ is confirmed. Only God can do this. Only Christ can do this. So we see the purpose of the man being born blind was for this moment. Folks, there's times in our life that we are there for that moment. And God has set up everything for that moment. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. We're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the direction of God as we went through last Sunday night. In verses 6 and 7, we see the power that healed him. It was power to recreate that which is lacking, his eyesight. And he made what? Clay. Just like he made man out of what? Dust of the ground. It was power that requires a response. He had to go to the pool of Siloam in order to have his healing complete. Folks, we need to do what God wants us to do. If we don't do what God wants us to do, it will be incomplete. And then there's power that always brings results. Instead, it came back what? See. It came back seeing. And then, in verses 8 through 13, we see the perplexity, the puzzlement of the people, their disbelief. First of all, they didn't think he was blind in the first place. They thought he was faking this. And then their demand, how did this happen? And then they couldn't come up with any sort of idea. So where did they go? They went to the Pharisees. They were the only religious people that they knew. So now we have the man in front of the Pharisees. And oh, by the way, this happened on what? The Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. So the title of the message lesson tonight is Won't Believe Their Eyes. They won't believe their eyes. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, verses 41. And here's the point. Seeing is not believing in their case. We need to see and believe. We need to see and believe. So there's four parts of this passage tonight. First part is found in verses 14 through 17. And what we see is we see the denial of the person that healed this blind man. Who was the person that healed the blind man? Christ. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders have been denying him all along. We see it chapter after chapter after chapter in the book of John. The first thing is you know, sometimes you go and you talk to people and they just won't believe you. And if you say something that just doesn't fit in their thing, they just ignore you. And so in verses 14 through 15, we basically see the religious leader saying this. Who ever heard of someone getting healed in that way? How on earth could this possibly happen? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. In this passage, it says here, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, because they've already gone down this road, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Folks, when God changes your life, that's your testimony. I was like this. Christ came into my life. He changed me, and now I'm different. I was once blind, but now I see. See, what we need to understand, we need to see the awesomeness of God. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 5 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. For those who have met Christ, for those who Christ has changed your life, you know the wonder of it all. You know the amazing grace. You know the healing that Christ is. But for everybody on the outside, they said, we just don't believe it. We can't believe that that could happen. And that's what the Pharisees are doing. Put clay on your eyes, go down to a pool, wash, and you come back seeing? Really? Well, go ask Naaman what happened to him when he washed in the Jordan River. So go ask Jairus' daughter, who's now walking around as Christ brings her back from the dead. See, you can't ignore what is staring right in your face. But they were. The amount of denial here is just incredible. How can someone be that blind? But there's a lost and dying world out there right now. That's that blind. So they deny. Who ever heard of someone getting healed in that way? Secondly, to the Pharisees, it was more important to the Pharisees when this happened than what did happen. You know why? Because they were holding on to their traditions. They were holding on to their rules. They were holding on to the religion. And now this came and busted it right open. Because to acknowledge what's happening means that to acknowledge that they're wrong, Christ is who he says he is. And they're going to hold on to this as long as they see him physically, but they don't see him spiritually. And that's what the world is today. In John 9:16, it says, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Really? Didn't you just see the issue of the I am the light of the world and all this other stuff? This man is not of God. Why? Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. The commandment was honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Didn't talk about what you could. You weren't supposed to do what? Any servile work. God, Christ is doing the work of God. Folks, doing the work of God is valid any day of the week. Any day of the week. It says, because he keepeth it on the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Now, some people were kind of getting the point. But you know something? There was no agreement. And when there's no agreement, what happens? You get conflict. And so now the Pharisees are split. I wonder if Nicodemus was in this crowd saying, someone who's a sinner can't do this. We don't know. We don't know. All we know is that there was a what? A division amongst them. And see, you either have to believe the truth or you believe the lie. There's no middle ground. You can't straddle. And so now we see the Pharisees getting polarized on this, which is the last thing that they wanted to happen to them. Then, what happens when you start pointing out to someone their error? They start making excuses, or they start making statements to try to make you see things their way. Their way. And that's what happens here in verse 17. They wanted the man to agree with them. Verse 17 says, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? Okay. We just told you he did this on the Sabbath day and he broke the Sabbath law. What do you think about that? This guy had been blind for years. Never seen anything before. Now he can see perfectly. He said he's a prophet. Now there's two themes going on here. There's a theme of the denial of the Pharisees. And it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. Folks, if you deny Christ, and you keep on denying Christ, you will harden your heart that you won't care. And think about this. He's months out from the crucifixion. How can... You can see that these Pharisees are turning and they're getting harder and harder and harder. So it's easy for them to send him to Pilate. It's easy for them to say, crucify him. It's easy for them to actually fulfill Scripture when they didn't even know the Scripture that they were fulfilling. That's one theme that's in there. The other theme is this man. We made a point is he never saw Jesus before. He comes back saying, he doesn't know what Jesus looks like. So the rest of this chapter comes back, and it's about the discovery of the man. The discovery of the man for Christ. And that really is the choice, isn't it? You either receive Christ, which means you have to see him as he is, and you get saved, and your heart becomes tender and soft. Or you reject him, and the more you reject him, it gets harder and harder and harder. And then you get to a point that you don't even want to hear about it. Remember back in Matthew chapter 16, after the crowd starts talking about Christ, in verses 13 and 14, Christ goes to a disciple, and he says that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the disciples are on this journey too. They're just on the longer three-year track. It says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias. Others Jeremias. Or one of the what? Prophets. And then he asks, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. So what does the man say? He says, he is a prophet. Now what's a prophet? A prophet is one sent by God. So he understands that Jesus is sent by God. That's his first step. So we see here the denial by the Pharisees of the person that healed this blind man, Jesus. Secondly, There's a denial that a miracle even occurred. You know, when you're losing an argument, what do? You go find another thing to argue. Something to try to justify your position. So they're getting nowhere with the man. So the Pharisees are trying to disprove this whole thing. So if you can't deal with the son, what do? You go to the parents. You go to the parents. So their search. Come on. Wow. There we go. Their search to deny the truth. They are looking for anything that they can to disprove that this man can see or that he was blind in the first place and to discredit Jesus. That's all they're trying to do. And so there's no great big theological thing here. Verses 18, 19, and 20 says this, but the Jews did not what? But they see it, but they don't believe it because they don't want to. And when we see the word Jews here, it's not talking about the nation of Jews. It's talking about the religious leaders. We're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all the people that are in the temple hierarchy. It says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? Notice how they couch that? You're saying that he was born blind. How then doth he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Well, that didn't work very well, did it? So the Pharisees are right back to square one. They're dealing with this miracle. They're trying to deny the miracle, and they can't stop. You know why? Because you can't hide the truth. You can't hide the truth. The truth is the truth. But here's what happens. We see now that people are going to have to make a hard choice. You know, there are people in countries right now that take great persecution because they admit and they confess Christ as their Savior. And we see here the parents are now in front of the religious leaders and they're being challenged on this. And they know where this is going. They don't want their life to be disrupted. They don't want their status quo to be changed. And they have silence. They've seen what's happened to their son. They ought to be jumping up and down for this. They ought to be praising God for this. But there's silence as far as acknowledging God. And there's a reason why. And it's found in verses 21 through 20, 21 through 23. Okay? So he said, we know this is our son. He's born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. That's the denial of Christ, folks. Okay? Or who hath opened his eyes? You see the silence? They don't want to say it. Folks, there's a lot of people who profess to be Christians that don't want to talk about Jesus. It's wrong. It's the great commandment. The great commission. We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Boy, all you kids would love for that to happen, right? Have your parents not jump in and answer for you? These words spake his parents because of what? They feared the Jews. They had a physical fear. Said, we don't want the consequences of having to admit that Jesus did this. Okay? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the what? Synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now, from the trial perspective of the Pharisees, they're getting older. What they were hoping for, they said, well, he wasn't really blind. Yeah, he was. Well, he's really not. There's, yeah, he was. Can't deny that he's what? Seen right now. No one wants to admit. No one wants to admit why. The man is still searching. Remember? He doesn't know who Jesus looks like. So, now they come back to the man. And the third point is the denial to follow Christ by the Pharisees again. The declaration of self-righteous. In verse 24, it says, then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. That's true. God deserves the praise because God is worthy of what? All praise. He's worthy of all glory. But what do they say? We know that this man is a sinner. They're blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Because they are denying that Christ is who he says he is. They're thwarting Christ. So they say, this guy can't possibly be of God. The man's already said he's a what? Prophet. Okay? So now in verse 25, we see the declaration of the seed man. You know, a lot of people think there's only one side to argument there. But there's two sides to every argument. And there's the truth out there too. In verse 25, it says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Something happened to me, and it was good. And I'm happy for it. I'm happy for it. So we see the declaration of self-righteous. We see the declaration of seeing man. And then we see the determination of the seeing man. You know about Cornelius, right? The book of Acts. Now, what was Cornelius? He was a Gentile. He was a centurion. And he had done good things for the Jews. And he prayed to God. And he was seeking God. And, you know, he hadn't heard about Christ. He might have a lot. But God made him to see. And Christ is going to make this man to see. And Cornelius, who I had to defend, he was determined to get the answer from God. And he got a revelation to go down and find Peter. Peter got a revelation to go up and see Cornelius, get together, have this message. Everybody believes. Verses 26 to 27, we see the determination of the guy that was healed. It says, then said they unto him, what did he do to thee? Wait a second. You know, another problem with people who are hard-headed, they won't listen at all. How many times have you already told them? This guy made clay, told me to go down here, I came back seeing. How many times have I had to tell you this? Okay? What did he do? How open he left? He answered, I told you already! And now this guy gets sarcastic. Wouldn't you? And ye did not hear. You're not listening. You're not seeing. Wherefore would ye hear again? It doesn't matter how many times I can talk to you until I'm what? Blue in the face and nothing's going to change. Well, and then he says this. This is the last thing that they wanted. Now remember, this guy's on a discovery of Christ. And he says this way. Will you be his disciples also? Really? It takes some guts, folks. His parents buckled under the pressure. They buckled under the fear. But here he is seen standing right in front of the same people, and he's holding his ground. Folks, we have to occupy till we come. We have to hold our ground. So what happens if you're having an argument and there's no way of denying it, there's no way of figuring some way around it, and then there's whatever you try to do, it just keeps on coming back. So the only thing you can start saying is, well, you're not that! Well, you start hurling insults. And so the next thing here, verses 28, 29, we see the demeaning of the seeing man. Who's the blind people now, folks? If you hadn't figured that out as the Pharisees, you got some problems, okay? Who's the seeing guy? The guy that got healed by Christ. Then they what? Reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Now, they changed this. Remember, Christ took them on about Abraham's disciple. He said, if you were the disciple, descendant of Abraham, you wouldn't go out and try to kill him. But now, the only person they can go back to is the lawgiver. Because the only accusation they have is they broke the law. But it wasn't God's law, it was their law. We know that God spake unto Moses. Really, were you there? Had to do that by faith. They had faith to be saved, but they just want to. Okay? As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now wait a second. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. Because I am from above. I do my Father's will. I do the work of him that sent me. They're in total denial here. I don't see how people can actually be that blind. So they demean. All they can do now, they can't deny what's happened here. So all I can do is throw insults at it. And so now, in verses 30 through 33, we see the defense by the seeing man. And I think this is awesome. Verse 30. Look at what just happened. You can see it for yourself. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why in here, herein, is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You've got to be kidding me. But folks, there's people out there right now doing the same thing. In verse 31, look at those who God answers. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Who's this guy talking to? The ones who say, we see God, we love God, we serve God, we do all this other stuff. He's implying here, God doesn't hear him. God's hearing him, but not them. Verses 32 to 33. Look at the power of God that was demonstrated. Let's have a history lesson. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Secret ballot. First time ever. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Wow. So this man, he's now just preached who Jesus is to the Pharisees. He basically says he's a prophet. He's from God. And oh, by the way, he's done something that no other prophet has ever done. He's done something that no other follower of God has ever done. He recreated my eyes. He did only what the Creator God could have done. So, what's the last recourse when you lose the argument? You throw the other guy out. You reject and you throw him out. So what we see here in the last verses of this chapter, we see the decision resulting from the denials. Okay? The man that sees denies what the Pharisees want him to say. And so we see the dismissal of the seeing man. You can't win an argument. You just silence the argument. Just make it go away. Close your eyes. Stick your head in the sand. And it won't even be there. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sins. Remember how this started out? The disciples asked this question. Who did sin? This man or his parents? And Christ said, neither. And so these guys are going and he said, you are a sinner. And because we're who we are, and you who are you are, you're a sinner because we're always all right. And dost thou, they got the message. Dost thou teach us? Who are you to talk about who God will hear their prayer? Who are you to talk about history of God and what he... Who gives you the right to talk about these things? Thou was altogether born in sins and thou touchest, and they cast him out. You know something? That seeing man didn't lose anything. He just lost religion. So now he understands God, that he's a prophet from God, he's got the power of God, and now he's been cast out of religion. He's an outcast. That's who Jesus came to save, the outcast. Verses 35 to 38, we see the deliverance of the seeing man. His circumstances, in verse 35. Now, Jesus is not there, but he hears all things, right? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And where did Jesus go? He went to him. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Of whom I am chief. He says, he went and when he had found him, he said unto them, here's the question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Okay? So there's a decision. This man's seen all these things, and he has to come to this point of confession. He realizes that Jesus is God. We're not. We need to go his way. Remember, he's never seen Jesus before. May have heard about him. So in verses 36 to 37, Jesus gives him some clarification. He says, he answered and said, who is he? He doesn't know. That I might believe on him. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Praise God. See, God doesn't want you to be an outcast. God doesn't want you to be left out. God wants you to see clearly. And so now, this man is now confronted with the truth of who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. He's the one that did it. And so we see in verse 38, his confession. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped. When you come face to face and Christ has worked something in your life, you have to acknowledge who God is. And when you come to a point of acknowledging who God is, you have to be humble. And when you come to a point of being humble, you have to worship Him. You have to worship Him. The Pharisees are so proud and so hard-hearted that they'll never listen. So a few of them, but they're all working around in what? Secret. They're all doing this in secret. Verses 39 through 41, we see the decree of Christ. And this decree of Christ is against the Pharisees. This just makes me mad. We see Christ's judgment pronounced in verse 39. It says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which might that see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Who's the blind ones now? The Pharisees are. Now here's the point. This is not done in some secret corner. This is not done in some little quiet room. This is done right in front of the Pharisees. They're in the where? They're in God's house. They're in God's house. Christ's judgment is perceived. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Well, duh. You figure it out. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how much you put up an argument. Go ask Paul on the Damascus Road. He says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against what? Pricks. Just keep on kicking and kicking and kicking. But you have to come realize who I am. The seeing man did. The Pharisees don't. And so we see the judgment prevails in verse 41. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Who's the righteous God? The one that Jesus sealed. Not the ones who say we're righteous. Who's the seeing God? The one who Jesus healed and realizes who Jesus is and confesses. Who's the blind person? The one who rejects Christ. says, if you're blind, you would have no sin, but now you say ye see, therefore your sin remaineth. So the answer is tonight, you need to see Jesus Christ. It's not see him as a person. It's not to see him as a prophet. It's not to see him as a healer. It's not to see him as a good man. It's to see him as the Son of God. It's to see him as the Savior of the world. It's to see him as the one who can heal you. It's to see him as the one who can forgive your sins. It's to see him as the one who can only, he's the only one that can give you eternal life. He's the only one that can allow you to go to heaven. Do you see? We need to see him clearly. And folks, if we see Christ clearly, we'll do what Christ wants us to do. And if we see Christ clearly at night and we've never seen him before, this is the night for your salvation. This is the night where you need to say the sinner's prayer and come to a saving knowledge. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to open your word and share it, to hear its truth. Father, I just pray that you just help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to see you clearly. Someone here does not know you. If they die right now, they don't know if they go to heaven or not. Father, I pray that tonight they get that straight. Father, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, just to be who you want us to be for your glory. That we would stand and not be silent, Lord. That we testify of your grace and your mercy and your strength and your power. and your love and your compassion. We ask these things in Jesus' name.